The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors. Great companies like Sun Warrior, the pioneers of plant-based protein. From the sun to the plant to you, go to sunwarrior.com to learn more about all the products and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. Enviromedica, makers of Terraflora, a novel broad-spectrum symbiotic combining spore-form probiotics and advanced food-based ancient prebiotics. Find Terraflora and the full line of products at enviromedica.com. Paleo Magazine, now all digital. Go to paleomagazine.com to subscribe. The Wellbeing Journal, Veg World Magazine, the International Society of Sports Nutrition, and Thorne Research. Visit our dispensary at oneliferadio.com for 20% off and free shipping. You can find more information on all of our sponsors, including links to listener discounts, on the oneliferadio.com sponsor page. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Ronaldo Davis, broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia and KMET. KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. How are you doing today, Ronaldo?
TGIF. I'm doing, TGIF to you, too. I'm doing great. Have you noticed how hazy it is outside?
It is. Now, somebody said there's some sand.
Yes.
Tell me the story. I heard it last night, but I forgot. What was it? It's something about sand.
It's the Saharan dust. It's dust from the Saharan desert. I guess there's some storms along the Atlantic, and it happens every year. But I guess this year it's a lot more than it has been in the previous years.
Yeah, I noticed it. I was looking out my kitchen window last night when I was doing the dishes. I had a birthday party for my daughter at home last night, and I said, is it me, everybody? Look out the window. Does it look like it's, I don't know, it's really, looks just dusty outside, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's kind of funny, and that's when they brought it up. But it seems to be much clearer today as far as, like, the air, and I don't know, maybe the reflection of the sun, because it was around that time of night, amplified it. I don't know. But pretty cool, and it's just a reminder that we are one world. So what we do here makes a difference everywhere, and vice versa. So always good to know, keep up with stuff like that, though, don't you think?
Yes, I totally agree. Love stuff like that.
Well, you know, today is Happy Furry Friday, you guys, brought to you by Ned CBD. And good news, animal lovers, because Ned's full-spectrum hemp oil is not just for humans. It's great for humans' best friends as well. Get yours at helloned.com and use the code OLR for 15% off your first order. And this would be a good time to introduce my furry, well, she's not furry, but she loves furry friends. Like I do. Maura Davies. How are you doing today, Maura?
Doing great. And TGIF too. Although, I mean, the top of my head is furry. I have hair. I have some, you know, curly hair.
You have a beautiful head of hair. I wish I had your hair. You've got beautiful hair. You always have. But Maura, I love working with you. There's so many important things that we need to talk about every single week. If you're just now listening and don't know Maura, she is the Vice President for Marketing and Communications at the SPCA. That's the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals of Texas. Their website is simply spca.org. There's a lot that you can do to help animals that they, you know, find on the street, or where else do you find animals besides on the street? They get abandoned, right? And you guys even handle horses. You handle all animals.
We do. There are a few species that we will work with partners on, for example, reptiles, any exotic animals that do need rescuing. But no, we bring animals through animal cruelty investigations, through transferring from other shelters, and through owner surrender. And for the last, oh gosh, I don't even know, 2+3 years, actually our live release rate tends to hover around 95%. So that means more than 95% of the animals that come through our doors are either adopted, transferred out to other shelters, and we focus on rescuing, rehabilitating, and rehoming dogs, cats, little guys like rabbits, hamsters, little ratties, and big animals like horses and donkeys, and even littler animals like chickens.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, there's so many animals out there, and I've got a story for you. In fact, they've contacted everyone in the city and can't seem to get any help. And they actually started an Instagram account. There's only mm-hmm. me and one other person, my friend who told me about it, that are followers so far, but it's called Dogs on the Patio Dallas. And there's an apartment complex that is called Gramercy on the Park, which is near mm-hmm. 635 in the Tollway. And you just have to go to it. Dogs on the Patio Dallas. And these dogs are outside all day long, sometimes all night long, and it's heartbreaking. And it's actually a great story to segue into what we're talking about today, which is mm-hmm. keeping your pets active and healthy during the COVID-19 crisis. And that does not include leaving them outside on a patio mm-hmm. all day long and all night long. That's just mean. It's really mean. And they've contacted everybody in the city, okay? And nobody's mm-hmm. really done anything yet. And so what do you do when you've got someone mm-hmm. like that? My friend and I, you know, we're thinking of ways to, you know, get this some attention and get it handled. But why do people mm-hmm. do that? Why? I ask myself, mm-hmm. why would someone even own an animal if they just want to leave it outside all day long by mm-hmm. itself?
Well, you know, that's a tricky thing to answer. You know, people do things for all different kinds of reasons. Different animals are going to do best in different environments. And there's so many factors that go into play. You know, for example, what is the location of the animals? What are any applicable laws or city codes, state laws, city codes that may come into play? Some municipalities have rules about whether or not animals can be tethered for what hours. There is an anti-tethering law in Texas that I do know about. But in terms of like keeping animals outside, there's not really any legislation that I'm personally aware of. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, yeah. I hate to speculate on people's motivations, but certainly the SPCA of Texas promotes that people really do make sure that they understand that they're when they make the commitment of adopting a pet, it's a lifelong commitment of care and love and support for their pets, and that animals are not disposable. They are our companions and should be treated with respect and love.
Yeah, you know, and that's why I brought it up, because I think it's important. Mm-hmm. And I've thrown the football to you, so maybe you guys can do something. I don't know, maybe send them a letter, find out who they are. We know mm-hmm. where they are. And I just think it's heartbreaking. And mm-hmm. we already have found homes for the dogs. So we just have to get a hold of the owner and say, you know, why would you have a dog if you're just going to keep it outside all day long? And I know that, you know, animals are a handful. I've got 22, 11 cats, 11 dogs, and they keep me so busy. And they're very expensive, too. It's constant work, but you don't get to do that. And so what can we do to keep our pets safe mm-hmm. and our kids during this COVID-19 crisis?
Sure, absolutely. Well, so for keeping pets mentally and physically healthy while staying important, it's important to consider both pets' mental health and their physical health. So just like people, pets can experience that kind of stress on both sides during things like this, just this bizarre time, crazy time, terrifying time, mm-hmm. COVID-19. And so exercising both their mind and their body can help. So, you know, if you have a dog, go to your backyard, throw the ball, take a walk in the morning or in the evening, especially during the hot summer months. Maintaining appropriate distance from other people and pets. Make sure you follow all the other regulations, washing your hands for 20 seconds, wiping down your dog's paws, similar to washing their hands with gentle pet-friendly soap when you come back. Avoiding mm-hmm. dog parks, all that stuff. Keep socially distant. Do what you can inside the house. There's lots you can do with your cat or your dog. You could do different kinds of fun toys. Use what mm-hmm. you have. Like, look through. Maybe you have a closet with a bunch of stuff, and you got a shoebox and a ping pong ball, or you can set up an obstacle course. This is enriching, that gives your dog and cat a brain workout. You know, as you give them that exercise too. So, toys. Yeah. There's so many places you can order from online and have products delivered. That all kinds of toys exist. And really, one of the best things we can do for our pets is to take care of our mental and physical health so that we can take care of them. Because according to experts, pets respond best to calm, patient, and confident attitudes in their human companions. So it's important. And if you see a situation where an animal is potentially in danger, the best thing to do, the advice I give to you, Bernadette, everybody out there, depending on what city you're in, there will be a different thing, and people can look up what happens in their city. But if this situation you're talking about mm-hmm. is in Dallas, Dallas, for Dallas, the best thing to do is call 311 and report it. Because if there is a statute, if there is anything that is legally able to be done, that's the number to call in Dallas.
So
I definitely encourage
that.
Y'all to do that. You have,
They call 311, SPCA, Dallas Dogger. Clearly the law doesn't protect these animals, and maybe that's where we need to start, because you should not be able to have an animal, as I said earlier, because I get really angry about it. I do. It really upsets me. I've lost sleep over this ever since I found out about it, because it bothers me deeply. And it should bother everybody, you know? It really should. So
to that end,
anything
I have another
else?
Suggestion. There is, in Texas, there is something that you can do to change the law. There is a wonderful group. We've worked with them for many years, Texas Humane Legislation Network. It's THLN.org. And they're focused on changing the laws to help pets in Texas. And so if you are so inclined, you can get involved with them. They're all over the state. They do amazing work, and we love working with them. So changing the law would be the next step. I mean, I hate to say it, but I'm with you. It's, something that people do lose sleep over.
Yeah, and they have been on the show. They've been on the show a couple of times in the last 9 years. They have. I need to reach back out to them and work more closely with them. We just need to get some initiatives started to make change. I mean, that's the way it is for everything. But you gotta be aware first that this is going on, and people need to own it and acknowledge it and help these animals, because they don't have a voice of their own. You know, they don't. They're completely controlled by these abusers, and it's wrong. Mm-hmm. So, all right, now that I'm all jacked up.
I'm with you.
anything else you want people to know before we go to break, Maura?
Just thank you, everyone out there, loving your pets. If they need veterinary attention, there are still veterinarians out there that can help. Just depends on where you are and what the processes are. Check with your veterinarian. Everybody out there, don't forget, please spay and neuter your pets. Save the lives of millions across the United States. That's the quickest way to put it. Spay and neuter your pets, and please adopt from a shelter or a rescue group. There are so many millions of pets in these organizations nationwide looking for wonderful homes. And if you can't adopt, foster. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, fostering. I'm a foster failure. A dog, once they come on my property, that's it. I look them in the eyes, I'm toast.
We call it foster winning. That's a foster win, Ruth. There you go.
Okay. Well, I'm at full occupancy right now. So anyway, but it's great working with you all these years. Maura Davies, I encourage everyone to go to the SPCA.org. And if you've got a few extra dollars or extra towels laying around, you guys are always like, you always need stuff. So just go and see what they need right now and help these folks out. So have a great weekend, Maura. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Bye. Everyone, stay tuned. We've got a great show continuing on. Darshan Goswami is going to be talking about global warming and climate change. He is an incredible leader in this field, has over 40 years of experience in the energy field, specializing in renewable energy and Mo Brostat. He's back learning to communicate effectively during a disagreement. That's going to be a good one. Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Baby, I'm playing on you tonight. Hunt you down, eat you. Just like animals, animals, like animals, moles. Maybe you think that you can hide. I can smell yourself for miles. Just like animals, animals, like animals, moles. Baby, I'm so what you try to do to me? It's like we can't stop, we're enemies. And when we get along, then I'm inside of you. You're like a drug. Treat.
everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Rinaldo Davis, and our very special guest today is Darshan Goswami. He has more than 40 years of experience in the energy field. He worked as a project manager for renewable energy, microgrid, and smart grid projects at the United States Department of Energy in Pittsburgh. Earlier, he retired as chief of renewable energy department from the United States Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C. Mr. Goswami is a registered professional electrical engineer with a passion and commitment to promote, develop, and deploy renewable energy and the hydrogen economy. He is a volunteer advisor to the Ministry of Power, Government of India on renewable energy since 2014. And Mr. Goswami is actively engaged in volunteer work to help the poor. In dedication to his life serving humanity and poor people, he is a founder and director of Indian Foundation for Children Education and Care, Inc., to eliminate poverty in India through the education of underprivileged children and elevate the standard of living of poor women throughout or through empowerment. I love this man. You can find him at ifcare.org. That's ifcare.org. How are you doing today, Darshan?
Hello, Bernadette. So nice to talk to you.
Yes, I love having you on the air. I do. I love all your work. And thank you for having a heart for the poor, because that's a special calling. And it's really cool that you do that. It is. Today we are talking about global warming and climate change. So can you explain the difference between global warming and climate change?
Climate change is any substantial change in Earth climate that lasts for an extended period of time. Global warming is the increase of Earth's average temperature due to buildup of greenhouse gases in the atmosphere. In other words, global warming is one of the symptoms of much larger problem of human-caused climate change. That includes many side effects of warming the planet, melting glacier, heavier rainstorm, and more frequent droughts. And global warming drives the climate change.
Okay, so right now, can we talk a little bit about the Siberian heat wave and why the Arctic Circle is warming up so much and faster than the rest of the world? What's going on with that?
Because global warming has many causes, and it's commonly associated with human interference. And as we have many burning fossil fuel, cutting down the rainforest, farming the livestock, these are the main causes that causes this global warming to increase the greenhouse gases like carbon dioxide and methane, and that's what causes the problem.
It's a big problem, too. It really is. And so I'll ask you this. How much of climate change is man-made, and how much is nature?
Most of the climate change is actually man-made, and because there are all the activities we do that are caused by humans, and like polluting the environment and all these things, and that's caused by, global warming and climate change.
Well, I did some researching before I, went on with you today, and one of the things that I found, because I was just curious, and so I was searching about 5G in the environment, and so what do you think? Will 5G, what will that mean for the environment? Are there going to be any detrimental effects from 5G on the environment?
There is many, many research available, and it says it has a lot of effect on human health itself. There are 5G effects, and I think research is still going on, and there are a lot of facts available. It does have a lot of effect on human health.
Well, so, what are some of the signs that are currently visible signs of climate change?
Let me give you a couple of examples. The average level of the sea rise due to climate change is about 8 inches in last 100 years. And mm-hmm. 1 to 4 feet of this rise in sea level due to climate change will sink all the Pacific islands like Hilton Head, Bangkok, New York, even Mumbai in India. They will all be under rise. It's because of rising sea levels. Melting ice, hurricanes, more powerful storms, heat wave, and the reduced food security.
Oh, wow. Yeah, and the food security, that's a big issue, too. It really is. So is the world responding to climate change in any way as a whole? We hear one world government. People have a lot of fears surrounding that. But, when it comes to to climate change and global warming, I feel that there needs to be some real solidarity here from countries all over the world, which leads me to this question. Who are the biggest violators of climate change and global warming? Which country?
If you look at the climate change, it was a climate change. Now we have moved to climate crisis. Right now, at our hand, we have a climate emergency. After more than a year of grim scientific projection and growing activism, world leaders have come to an increasingly recognition that it is a serious problem, and nobody is doing anything about it. Reducing carbon emission is essential to our future. And world, we have already crossed the tipping point, according to the scientists. And this also creates an existential threat to human civilization. So we are in a state of planetary emergency, and we need to wake up. Scientists are telling us that it's a very serious crisis. And let me give you some examples. There may not be enough water available in the next 20 years. For many parts of the world, it's already true. In Africa, some part of India, they are not having enough water available. Climate change also proposes a serious threat to our coastal erosions. As I said, hurricanes and all these things. And many people believe that these are main three side effects on our health, our economy, and the agriculture. We might have already reached the tipping points, and planet is warming up. Let me give you a bigger picture of this example. Previously, scientists thought that 5 degrees Celsius was necessary to pass this tipping point, but the latest evidence suggests that even 1 to 2 degrees Celsius, and if we cross that 1.5 degrees Celsius, we'll have a very serious consequences. Not that 5 degree anymore. The planet has already warmed up about 1 degree Celsius temperature. So due to the past emission because of the greenhouse gases, we are already in deep trouble.
Well, and we have these numbers, and yet there's people out there still who don't believe in global warming. What do you say to them to knock on their head, knock, knock, who's there? Kind of like, why are we not getting this? Some people just like refuse to believe it. Why do you think that is?
Well, the biggest threat is our President Trump. He has scaled back all the problems. You know, President has rolled back all the environment regulation. If the government doesn't believe in regulation or the EPA, and that's causing the problem, and all the experts are telling that we have to believe, and this is the science, we have to believe in science. There is no reason not to believe in science. Science clearly tells us that this is a very serious problem.
It is a very serious problem. And it's been, and this is not new, you know. I go to the book, I have it in my hand here. It's one of my favorite books. It's a classic about the environmental movement by Rachel Carson, Silent Spring. It was written over 50 years ago, and she warned us of exactly what's going on right now. Nobody listened 50 years ago. No, well, not nobody, but a lot of people still aren't listening now. And so what actions can we take right now to reverse our climate change and stop global warming?
We can take a lot of action. We can start reversing this process by replacing all the fossil fuel with the renewable energy. We can stop cutting our forest, you know, have to have conservation. That will reduce the food waste. And we can eat plant-rich food instead of eating meat. Reducing the meat consumption can improve human health and lower emissions. The other biggest factor, which will surprise you, that we must educate girls. And I'm not joking. Educating girls has a ripple effect of wonderful benefits. It leads to a better income, more independence for women, and material and infant mortality of the children are lowered. And finally, education helps women respond better to the climate shock. We can also reduce the emission of short-lived pollutants. We can electrify all our cars. All the cars could be replaced within 10 years. And many governments already have by 2030 or 2025, they are trying to replace. We can improve our energy efficiency. We can also decentralize our energy. By decentralizing, I mean we can have microgrid, standalone storage. We can install utility-scale big solar wind projects. or hybrid projects combining together. So we have to stabilize and reduce the pollution growth. We can also have a refrigerant management, all the refrigerant that waste is also. So climate change is the number one threat facing humanity and our planet, and we can no longer afford to pay its staggering cost. Let me give you an example. According to United Nations, as I said before, the world must cut carbon dioxide to net zero by 2050. In order to achieve that, we cannot afford to have the global temperature warm up to more than 1.5 degrees. So we'll have with the devastating storm, dangerous flood, melting glacier, rising sea level, it's very critical that we face the reality. 98% of the climate scientists agree that human activity is driving a climate change this earth. And climate scientists have already told us the world needs to cut the carbon pollution by half by 2030. If we don't do that, we are in a deep crisis.
Well, you know what? I'm blown away and by a lot of things by you, your knowledge, your heart. And speaking about women, encouraging the education of women, that is the key to so many things in our planet. And kudos to you for bringing it up, because I think a lot of people don't think of that. And it's a big it's a big issue. It really is. And I can't thank you enough, Mr. Goswami, for jumping on the air with us today and sharing all your knowledge with us. Thank you so much for being on One Life Radio. And I look forward to having you back.
Thank you, dear. Have a wonderful day and stay safe and healthy.
You too. Thank you so much. All right, everyone, stay tuned. We've got Mo Brosette coming up. Have you been doing any disagreeing lately with people that you love? Well, you might want to listen up, because learning to communicate effectively is a very powerful thing. More coming up here on One Life Radio with Mo Brosette. Stay tuned, everyone. TGIF, everyone. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Ronaldo Davis, and we've got Mo Brosette on the line. He's been on the show for a while now, and he has been in the health and fitness industry for over 24 years, and he is currently the Director of Mindset and Nutrition at the Adaptive Training Foundation. Let me tell you a little bit about the Adaptive Training Foundation. It is a Dallas-based nonprofit that leads disabled military veterans and civilians through a nine-week mental and physical training program called Redefine. And through Mo's unique program, he helps these adaptive athletes overcome physical, emotional, and mental pain, fear, and self-doubt. He is a corporate speaker on fear and human potential, where he teaches companies and individuals how to achieve professional and personal goals, overcome limiting beliefs, and use fear as their greatest tool for success. His website is brosetteperformance.com. That's brosetteperformance.com. And on Instagram, at @brosette_performance_coaching. And how you doing today, Mo?
I'm good. I got to say this. I'm very proud of you, Bernadette, because this is the first time that you've introduced me and said Instagram correctly.
Well, you know how I love to play. And so I'll do it. I'll do it just to, you know, to keep things Instagram. I'm on Instagram. And you just don't put your lips together very far. But, you know, because I, you know, exactly. it's one of my favorite things to do. And I shouldn't do it. But, you know, everybody needs to get a sense of humor. I was telling this exactly. to my daughters the other day, you know, and we talk about stuff like that. Like, I always do little voices. And I've done them since I was a kid. I like doing voices. And so, like, you know, I was thinking about teasing you and doing how you doing, but you know, I don't want to, yeah. you know, insult any Italians, God forbid. Even though I'm half Italian, and people just need to lighten up a little bit, don't you think?
Oh, 100%. Yes, yes, they do. We definitely need to lighten up,
and that would avoid a lot of disagreements, right?
It would, yes.
which is what we're talking about today: learning to communicate effectively during a disagreement. You know. I'm not a very good arguer. Some would say, oh, yes, you are. You're really good. But I don't like to fight. And so I avoid them at any cost. I really do. You have to really push me into a corner to get me to fight back. Typically, I shut down. I either shut down or I run. I don't like to fight. And so everyone has disagreements, so don't they, Mo? I mean, everyone does.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, look, we're humans. We have differences in opinions. Differences in thoughts, differences in morals, and we're like snowflakes. No one of us are the same. So it's important and imperative that we learn how to communicate with each other in a very objective and humble way, so that we, you know, even if you and I are having a conversation, and I know that you think one way, I think the complete opposite. And I come and speak to you in a certain way, you're not going to receive that information. In fact, that's actually going to fuel your fire to be more combative against me versus mm-hmm. if I think, okay, let me go into this with a bit of humility. What I know Bernadette thinks, I know where her opinion lies in this matter. I know that she is strongly passionate about this. So what's the best way that I can communicate with her so that she understands that, hey, look, I know this is your opinion. This is mine. I would love for you to I want you to listen to me and let's have a conversation around it. And if we disagree, mm-hmm. great. Let's do it in a kind way without blaming each other, without assuming that you are this and putting a label on you because of a word choice or phrase or difference in opinion.
Well, the way you just said that, I want you to listen to me. I wouldn't be, if you and I, let's say we're in a relationship, whatever. If you said that to me, like, I want you to listen to me. Right away, I'd say, I don't like the tone of your voice, and I don't like the way you said that. You need to listen to me.
Yeah. Well, and that's
right?
So for me, I would then go, oh, okay, cool. Then you're right. My bad. Let me try to explain this in a different way. Or not even say it, right? Just what can I do for you to better communicate what I'm trying to get across to you? And just ask questions. You know, we talked about that a couple shows ago. You know, what can I do to help you understand what I'm trying to say? Not in a mean way. I'm just trying to know for an education purpose. So I know what's the best way for me to address you. So that you don't take offense to it, so you don't think I'm coming at you with something, so I'm not blaming you. And it's really just, and when we can do that, and when we can set our pride down, when we can set our ego down, and we can go into it again with humility and say, hey, look, mm-hmm. doing the best I can here. I'm going to tell you right now, some of the words that I might say, you might not like, but this is the only way I know how to communicate it. So let's have a conversation around it. And if there are ways I can do or say something better, man, I would love to hear it, but I need you to communicate this with me the way I'm doing it with you right now. Help me understand.
Well, okay, so I'm going to ask you this. So what are the ways, or are there ways to communicate an opposing position with someone without it escalating into a full-blown argument? What do you do for that to not happen? Especially if you've created a pattern with someone where it always ends up there. How do you tap the brakes? How do you slam the brakes and stop it dead in its tracks?
Yeah. You know, listen, that's a big one, because a lot of times, especially when we've created a pattern with someone, usually it's with your significant other, your spouse, one of your friends or whatever. Like, you know, if it was you and I, we've been best friends forever, you know how I am. And so you already know that there might be some sort of agenda. So if I, if I'm trying to come have a conversation with you and I'm trying to do it in a different way, but I expect you to act differently because I'm acting differently now, I'm setting myself up for failure, number one, because you have been, you've been programmed basically to know that Mo, this is how he is. And if I respond a different way, you're going to think, what's wrong with you? So if someone's having, if you're having an argument with someone, or if you're going into a conversation with someone that is passionate about something, that is ready for the fight, understand that you might not be able to get through that human right now. They might not be ready to receive any information, and your best opportunity is just to listen and just say, you know what? Just, man, unload it on me. I don't, I'm not going to pretend that I know how to answer this or solve it, and I'm not even going to try, but I want you to tell me whatever you want to tell me. Even though I know we disagree on this, I want to hear your side of it, and I want you to give me the ability to think about it and think about it, and then let's continue to have the conversation.
Yeah, you're making me think of a song by Jackson Brown, Tender is the Night. Everybody knows it. It's a great song, by the way. And it's, I win, you win, we lose. And that happens so often in a disagreement. Yeah. And sometimes people split up over it, you know, and and people that truly care and love one another get caught up in these arguments, and ego truly is the enemy. I know you love that book like I do by Ryan Holiday. If anyone out there has never read it, you should. Especially if you have an ego problem. Ego is the enemy in so many of these circumstances. We're going to go to break. More coming up with more Brosette, learning to communicate effectively during a disagreement. We'll be right back. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Imagine me and you, I do. I think about you day and night. It's only right to think about the girl you love and hold her tight. So happy together. If I should call you up, invest a dime, and you say you belong to me and ease my mind, imagine how the world could be so very fine. So happy together. They toss the dice, it had to be. The only one for me is you, and you for me. So happy together.
All right. Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone, TGIF. This is Bernadette with Ronaldo Davis and Mo Brosette. We are continuing our conversation on learning to communicate effectively during a disagreement. Okay, Mo, where do you want to start? So what do you do when someone comes to you already angry and ready to fight?
Well, sometimes in those situations, there's not much you're going to do. You're not going to be able to do anything productive in that situation. What you can do is listen. If someone comes to you and they're engaging you and they are just angry and mad, the best thing you can do is just listen, because they are in a space where in their mind, what they have to say and what they need to say is going to take precedence, and you don't understand. So whatever you say is going to be met with resistance. So, you know, and it's like you said earlier, you win, I win, we win, whatever. If we both lose, whatever that was. Yeah, and that's what it is. Because even though, you know, if I agree with you, I'm not going to be able to say it in a way that's not, you're already charged up, you're already fired up. So my only opportunity is number one, to listen. And if that doesn't work, to leave. Just leave the situation. Back yourself out, walk away. Because nothing is going to get resolved, despite how much we want to try to help or have somebody just listen to me and let me explain to you. They don't want to hear it. When someone comes at you that way, they're shut off from any type of communication.
Well, what's the best way to argue? Should you be naked?
100%. Yes.
the more naked you can be, the better the argument's going to go. That way you're, look, okay. There's always, there's a goal at the end.
Well, yeah, you know, and yeah, what's up with that, Pete, where people purposely fight and they have like makeup sex? What is up with that? I wouldn't think, I don't know. I've never gotten that, but what is the best, what's the best way to de-escalate an argument, even if you yourself are getting angry?
Is to basically do what I was saying earlier. What I just said is, listen, man, I'm not getting what you're saying. You're not getting what I'm saying. This is not being productive. Neither one of us, you know, and what we're doing is just making it worse. So, look, I appreciate you. I understand your opinion. I hope you understand mine. Let's agree to disagree for right now. Let's be kind about this, and let's just both walk away for now and come back at a different time. And let's think about it.
Well, yeah.
Right?
I think it matters what it is you're arguing about. How big is this problem? Because, you know,
right.
Depending upon the problem, I'm not going to easily acquiesce my, not power, but my opinion if it's something that's fundamental to my principles.
Right. But again, if that's something that they're not willing to listen to or hear, you're just talking at, you're talking at someone at that point. So, you know,
right.
that's where there's a great book called Leadership and Self-Deception. So what you're doing with that, even though you're trying to do something good, you're in a box of thinking. You don't understand what I'm trying to say. So
right.
in doing so, you know, you're exacerbating the situation. So being able to look at that person objectively and again from an outside perspective and go, okay, nothing good is coming out of this. Even though, man, like I know I'm right. If I know 100% without a shadow of a doubt what I'm saying is correct and you really need to hear this, but you're not receiving it, it doesn't matter. Because you're not, and my trying to get you to understand is self-deception. I'm not going to be able to do that, you know. And it's something that we're dealing with this every day right now, you know. That you can't say anything right now without being called a name, without being called a racist, being called something.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's just. And this is why I wanted to talk about communication, because we see this thing, we see someone make a post on Facebook or Instagram or say something, and then automatically, you're a racist. You're a Republican.
Yep.
You love Donald Trump.
Yep.
Like, dude, I just wrote without even asking a question, we make these assumptions, and that's not an effective way to communicate. And it's even worse than that. You know, we don't know. Before this even happened, when someone disagrees with you, you're shaming me. I'm not shaming you. I'm simply saying I don't agree with you. Right.
Yeah.
But we've lost that ability to disagree and then have a conversation around it. And as a society, we have to be able to effectively communicate our disagreements and be able to not argue, but disagree.
Yeah. Well, and the face mask issue has become, it's just become such a big issue. Another thing to polarize us as a nation is something as simple as a face mask. And, you know, you see people respectfully wearing them. You see people not wearing them. I'm afraid to even talk about it because I'm afraid I'm going to get somebody angry here. But
part of the issue.
Yeah, that's part of the issue. You know, everybody needs to just relax, open their mind, and discuss it and not get angry about it. You know, I made a simple comment earlier to a friend of mine because this is not just romantic disagreements. This could be with a good friend or something about how I think it's ridiculous to be walking down the street when you're like taking your dog for a walk and wearing a mask because you want your lungs to get fresh breath air, or, you know, fresh air.
Right.
Because wearing a mask all the time is not healthy for you.
Right. And I agree with that 100%, 1,000%. However, we don't know that person's situation. We don't know if they're, you know, compromised. We don't know their past.
Right.
We don't know the history.
Right.
And I'm guilty of that,
so
too.
So you don't
but
judge.
I have to check myself and remind myself, look, that if this is making this human feel better, then go for it.
Yep.
I want you to do what makes you feel safe.
And that's basically, we agreed to agree. You know, we both agreed on it. Yeah. And so when you sit and you have, you know, a calm, rational, listening to both sides, conversation about it, good things can happen, you know, and we do need to, you know, to not judge. I talked about this with Jason Harris on Monday. He was on the show, author of the book, The Soulful Art of Persuasion, which is a fantastic book, by the way. I encourage everyone to buy a copy. It's an incredible book, and it's really the future of business. And it's basically about, you know, being a nicer person, opening your mind, you know, don't judge me and I won't judge you kind of mentality. And let's get through this together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And do it with gratitude, you know, and do it with some compassion. When you see somebody walking down the street by themselves, or they're in their car by themselves with a mask on, man, do meta meditation, right? Look at that person and go, you know what? I hope you have a great day and I hope you stay safe. Wish them well.
Yeah.
Instead of judging.
Absolutely. So if you dislike someone's actions or opinions and you want to address them directly, and we've only got about 2 minutes left, are there ways to prepare beforehand so it doesn't lead to an argument?
No, you look within yourself first. You have to look within yourself and what is triggering you about that situation, right? Because we often mm-hmm. think that, she gets on my nerves, this person fill in the blank, right? But we fail to go inside. We fail to look at the one thing and the one person that matters most in that situation mm-hmm. first, which is you. What about this is triggering me? And then once you can answer that question, then you can see it from a different way.
Yeah, because that communication is the key to success. It truly is.
Absolutely. And we've lost that ability. So that's why it's imperative we learn to have conversations. We need to learn that it's okay to disagree. And disagreement is actually a great opportunity for us to learn more about ourselves, learn more about the person, their thoughts, their beliefs, where they may have gotten these things from.
And what are ways to, quickly, how do we become better listeners? What are some little tricks?
Just learn to ask basic questions. Learn to ask why. Learn to ask, I would love for you to tell me more about this. And just sit and listen. Without offering an opinion, without trying to fix it. Don't go into a conversation with just simply to learn without trying to fix.
Mm-hmm. Great advice. It's great advice. It's always great having you on the show, Mo. I hope you have a good weekend. I'm guessing I'm going to hear the music here in just a second. We've got just a few seconds. Anything else you want to get out there before we kick the football? That's my new expression.
We kick the football.
Kicking the football through the goalpost.
Yeah. Right through the goalposts, making touchdowns. No, it's just, you know, continuing that conversation. Right, again, like it's okay. I can't say this loud enough that I want you to learn to disagree. I want you to learn to have a conversation with someone that does not agree with you, and that it's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, I'm going to kick the field goal. Here we go.
Here we go.
Can you tell I miss football? Oh, my gosh. If football doesn't come back in the fall, I don't know what I'm going to do. But I know a lot of people out there feel the same way. But I love having you on the show, Mo Brosset. Thank you so much. You can find him at brosetperformance.com. Everyone out there listening, thank you so much for listening and following One Life Radio. And you can find us on Instagram and Facebook, on our social media. We appreciate every follow that we get. Get out there this weekend and have fun, because you get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there and live it to the fullest.